This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This is all theater. This is all just political theater.
Political theater? Political theater.
Pure political
theater.
Theater.
Political theater.
The nefarious,
significant, and protracted
political theater for political theater's sake.
I yield back.
From Washington, this is Political Theater. Roll Call's review of the spectacle of politics on Capitol Hill and across the country. I'm Jason Day. It has been, to put it mildly, a momentous year. After the instability of 2020, which was the first year of the deadly coronavirus pandemic and a presidential election, let's be honest, many of us breathed a sigh of relief. Then the January 6th attack on the Capitol happened. Then the virus surged again and again. The country and Capitol Hill attempted to get back to normal, but it just didn't happen. Chronicling these events is what journalists do. It's our job, and at CQ Roll Call, we're extremely fortunate that we have a long tradition of photojournalism that captures these moments that define politics on an historic level and at a very human level. Bill Clark, Tom Williams, and Caroline Brayman had quite a task in narrowing down their photos of the year, and it's always great to have them on Political Theater to discuss how they work, what moments stay with them, and their reflections on the images that define the year. Tom, Bill, welcome, and Caroline, in absentia, she left CQ Roll Call for a job on the West Coast with the European Press Association, and she's covering the Golden Globes today. So we will we'll talk about some of her images, but today, Bill and Tom, we've got you, and welcome again.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for having us.
So, I think the first thing I want to sort of talk about just a little bit before we get into the images themselves is that, I mean, I've worked with both of you for over 10 years now. The number of photographs of yours that I've looked at, I mean, I sort of joke sometimes with people that without captions, I can usually tell pretty closely what's a Bill Clark photo, what's a Tom Williams photo, what's a Caroline Brayman photo, what's a Chris Mattaloni photo, what's an Al Drago photo, let's real quickly before we get into it, let's just talk about like how, what your approach is, your sort of elevator pitch, if you will, in honor of Caroline's being in covering Hollywood right now. What's your elevator pitch for how you approach, what you do on a daily basis? And then we'll get into the images themselves. Bill, why don't you go first as photo editor?
Personally, I'd like to be around the edges of the news to not mimic what every other photographer is doing in the Capitol, and there are a lot of photographers in the Capitol doing this stuff. So looking for something different, something that tells a story, something that capture the reader's eye and draw them in to whatever story that the photo is going with. So it's a little bit more kind of feature-ish, maybe described as more of like a magazine photography style rather than like wire photography.
No, I think that jives. I mean, the number of images on the internet certainly has proliferated, but the number of magazines that feature photography in a meaningful fashion, for years we had Life magazine, and there is nothing like that anymore, except in the pages of Roll Call. Tom, what about you?
I'd agree with what Bill said. You kind of want to get away from a huge pack of photographers and attempt to get something different because, let's say you're in a pack of 10 people. If something happens right there, the chances of you getting the best photo are like 1 in 10. But if you're away from that situation and you're the only one there, if something cool happens, then you're the only one that gets it. So that's kind of my philosophy. Now that could blow up in your face. I was at the January 6th meeting last week and there was a scrum of about 10 waiting for all the members to take the coming to the dais. And I went all the way across the room thinking I'd get some cool long shot. Anyway, it didn't work out. I literally got nothing. So sometimes you know, you try to get too cute with it and it doesn't work out. But most of the time, I've been doing this long enough, most of the time it's a good philosophy to have.
All right, let's get into some of these images. You know, on a, I think on a, in a given year, Bill, I mean, we're, you guys are taking thousands of images, and, you know, the ones that we either post to Photo Shelter, which is where we can sort of grab them for purposes of publishing on our site, or people can sort of shop for them, things like that. That's also in the thousands. And you limited the photos of the year to about 21. let's talk about some of the photos of your own that meant kind of the most to you, and why you picked them, and I'll see if they're the ones that stand out to me that lodged in my memory as well from these 21 photos.
So my favorite photo from the year is not a picture of a member of Congress, or any politician, or even a human. It's the squirrel eating a Snickers bar in the Upper Senate Park. It was just such a fun, lighthearted moment in the middle of all this mess this year that just made me happy, and I just love the photo.
Yeah, the caption correctly points out that it's not just any Snickers bar. This squirrel apparently was feeling a little hangry, and so he went with the Snickers almond bar for that extra little bit of protein to get him through the afternoon low brainwave time. you know, the one of the photos that I think the photo of yours that really has sort of lodged with me, that I know I've used it several times, is sort of, you know, taken in the aftermath of January 6th and this almost this kind of limbo that we were in, where the Capitol was, you know, the danger had cleared, the immediate danger had cleared, but we didn't know what was going to happen. And so the security perimeter really sort of stayed up. And that was this, it was a photo that you took of the Capitol, and then there was a fence, and I believe it was the street that separates the Capitol from the Supreme Court, and it's the fence, and it has concertina, you know, barbed wire on top, and then the Capitol behind. And I think I just can't help but think that is certainly the one of the defining moments of the kind of the middle part of the year.
Yeah, it's a very moody photo. It was actually shot on the fence on 3rd Street, separating the Capitol complex from the National Mall.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was even one further back. That's right. They had a bigger security
in the photograph. Most of the photo is just the pattern of the fencing and the razor wire, and the Capitol Dome is tiny, tiny in the bottom of the frame, and just kind of making the Capitol look small in comparison to all the security arrangements going on. You know, that was a time when the National Guard was surrounding us, and we had to pass through checkpoints, and with like working on a military base for some time.
And it gets also to this idea that, you know, of capturing a moment that's a more of a feature, because, I mean, this was, it wasn't that so much anything was happening right then, but this was this reality that we had to work with for months. So Tom, tell me about the photos in the photos of the year that, you know, your favorite one that sort of stuck out to you.
There's a couple of things. Just seeing the National Guard around, that was really cool photos, because I don't think that's ever been seen before, probably the history of the Capitol. The Paris Hilton one we used in the gallery is her outside at the House Triangle with the Capitol in the background, her sunglasses on. That's pretty cool. But what really worked out was the next day when I saw her in the rotunda, because the rotunda's got interesting light when it's sunny, you know, a few hours a day. It like bounces off the walls and almost acts like a studio light. And you'll walk by there once in a while and you'll see it, and it's like, oh man, I hope somebody cool walks through here. And I'll stake it out for a couple minutes and nobody walks through, and then I have to like go on to what I'm doing. So that particular day, Paris Hilton was doing like a little photo shoot in there, and I stumbled upon it, and they were cool about letting me take photos, and she did like a little catwalk through the thing, and the light was striking her perfectly. So I've been looking for an interesting photo like that with the good rotunda light for several years, and it almost never works out, but it worked out that time.
And the photo of yours, I mean, not to be, it's funny to or ironic to describe the photo I'm about to describe as pedestrian, but it seems so long ago that this happened. But in January 6th, you were in the House Gallery, and you took several photographs. I mean, with people with guns drawn, you know, the people moving furniture to try to keep people from out of the chamber itself. But the one that it sort of still sticks with me, it certainly stuck with the members that you took the photograph of, and it also caught the eye of Time Magazine, is one of its top 100 photos of the year, was a photograph of Jason Crow, a House Democrat from Colorado and also an Army Ranger in another life, comforting Susan Wild, another House Democrat from this one. She's from Pennsylvania. And, you know, it wasn't kind of quite clear at the moment. It was almost like she looked like she was having trouble, you know, and he was comforting her. And it, to me, you know, again, captures a moment that, talk about, you know, we haven't seen that. Before. I mean, most of the time, you know, we can't have cameras in there at all. But thank you for violating the rules, as I made sure that other people who were trapped in the Capitol, like, kept their laptops and kept their phones, even when they were going in the Senate chamber, which doesn't allow those things. So talk about that photo.
Yeah, when I first walked in, when I first was sheltered in there, a member of Congress, I won't say it's like, who the F told you could take pictures? And I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to get shut down here before anything really gets going. But at that time, that picture you're talking about, I was sheltering. I was kind of like laying on the ground, taking cover behind the backs of the chairs, because that's what the police instructed us to do, because the police on the, you know, by the door where they were trying to break in had their guns drawn, and they were trying to make us get down in case bullets started flying. So I just kind of popped up real quick. I could see, you know, there's a moment there. I was right on top of them with a 24 millimeter lens, so I didn't want to linger around too much in case she was having a serious medical problem. But I got off about four frames, and one of them was in focus enough to file. And I wasn't even sure if I wanted to file that photo at the time, because if she was having like a legit heart attack. But she tweeted, when I got back to Longworth to file, she tweeted that she was okay. So I thought that was okay to file, and, you know, showed what was going on up in the gallery, not just on the floor where they were breaking in.
And Bill, do you think, I mean, this, what Tom's talking about, this like sort of hesitancy, you know, to respect people's privacy at the same time that we're trying to record like these historic events. I mean, is this something that you guys deal with a lot? I mean, obviously there are so many moments, there are casual moments that we don't capture that are kind of personal, you know, like a sort of an understanding among members, staff, journalists, and so forth, that, you know, you don't do these, you don't take this kind of photo of, you know, that kind of thing. How many times, you know, does this come up where you have to sort of make these sort of judgment calls like Tom just described?
Something that drastic, not often, but just in my mind, I consider Roll Call to be Capitol Hill's community newspaper. So just like if I was working in a small town and something bad happened, I have to work with these people day in, day out for years. And I have to balance in my head, is this picture worth destroying a relationship or going beyond the bounds, as opposed to, you know, some of the other photojournalists can come in here and they don't care so much about, you know, how they'll be treated by members down the road. But, you know, we, as a community newspaper here, we have to keep in mind that these are our readers, and we have to be sensitive sometimes.
There's the old Prairie Home Companion, you know, there was a fictional newspaper editor for some small town paper, and one of the things that his sort of refrain was, I have to live here too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'd say when that comes up, Jason, I've had that happen a couple of times this year, it's more of accidentally getting a picture of somebody's phone and what it says on it.
Oh, like a text?
Yeah, yes. So I've done that a couple of times, and I just spiked the photo.
Did you get any feedback from the Congresswoman herself, from Susan Wild?
I ran into both of them at the inauguration on the 20th, and I introduced myself to Jason Crow. He's like, oh, cool. How you doing? We took a picture together. He was real nice. And I ran into her too. And I introduced myself and she goes to her staff and she's like, oh, hey, here's the guy that took that picture. And she didn't look particularly happy. But then I was in her district over the summer and she's like, oh, last time I saw you, I was flat on my back. And she gave a little chuckle. So she made a joke out of it. So I don't necessarily know how she feels about it, but we have made some kind of contact.
Well, we didn't have an AI stand up for Caroline, so we'll just have to kind of talk about her photos a little bit ourselves among ourselves. But Bill, some of the photos of Caroline's that sort of stuck out to you that you included in the photos of the year.
There's a photograph of Congressman Fred Upton putting his face mask on, and the face mask has the words dignity written across the front, but he's having a bit of trouble putting the face mask on, so it's covering his eyes and his nose, and not looking quite so dignified. It just cracks me up every time I look at it. And then the other one that I really love is overhead of the honor guard bringing the casket into the Capitol for the ceremony for the officer who was killed at the North Barricade of the Capitol in April.
It's a powerful image. I mean, we've seen our share of funerals this year, whether it's Bob Dole or someone like Officer Evans that you mentioned there. One of the things too, I was just sort of struck by is that another one of Caroline's photos that stands out is the one of Vice President Kamala Harris and Speaker Nancy Pelosi at President Biden's joint address to Congress. And again, you know, this history in the making, the first woman speaker, the first woman vice president. And it was almost kind of easy to forget of how transitional this year was, how sort of epoch making this was in the wake of the 2020 election, because we were just swamped, you know, from the get-go with January 6th and surviving the coronavirus epidemic. But that was a big moment. And there were some big moments that were not represented. As you were pointing out, Bill, there aren't any photos from the second impeachment of Donald Trump. He's the only president to be impeached twice. And there wasn't room for him.
To be honest, I had completely forgotten we had an impeachment this year until I was going back through the photos. I'm like, oh, wait, that was this year? And I tried to get it in, but it was just such kind of a non-event this time. You know, just the outcome was a given. And so I ended up leaving it out. And then with the vice president and the speaker having the first two female lawmakers sitting behind the dais there, in a regular year, that would have been massive news. And I feel like it was barely even mentioned. And I wanted to get it in there just to document that this amazing thing happened.
Tom, one of another one of your photos that I just, you know, sticks out to me is the one that you took of Justice Brett Kavanaugh at the American Council of Life Insurers,
right,
sort of fun run, charity run, which I ran in also.
I have one of you coming in about an hour later.
Yeah, exactly. I use the term run very loosely. It's more one of our friends in the up on Capitol Hill refers to it as wogging. Combination of walking and jogging.
Thing you see sometimes from the 80s.
Yes, I ran it, and I believe Justice Kavanaugh was about 8 or 10 minutes ahead of me.
Yeah.
And the photo that you took of him is, you know, this sort of playful photo. He's sticking out his tongue and it's this sort of moment, like on a very human level, like this is a constitutional officer. He's a justice in the highest court in the land. And he's all sweaty with the rest of the journalists and members. And then a couple hours later, we find out that he had tested positive for the coronavirus. And so I was like really glad I wasn't as fast as he was.
I was like, just lucky to get some shots of him that day. And that tongue sticking out photo was just complete luck. I fired through it and I saw it when it happened, but it was literally a quarter second. So I'm frankly surprised that I even got it.
And I think a lot of the photos of in other news outlets, because nobody else was there at the race, were typically the only people who were covering it.
I don't see any more news photographers there. I don't think that's because you guys make me do it every year. And Bill. So I'd also like to go back to one of Caroline's photos I liked. It's a private meeting with Portman and Manchin and Romney and some other senators. And it just
this is the bipartisan group. It was a group of 10 senators, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats who were negotiating behind closed doors.
Yeah,
the bipartisan infrastructure package.
From what I see. Yeah. But that just showed a lot of ambition to find out where the meeting was, then stake it out, and then, you know, wait for the door to open and then be able to frame it up and get it in focus as people are coming and going. So it's a low percentage shot that worked out. So I like that one.
I feel like maybe this is our version of the old moment of Zen, but maybe it's a good way to end which is the photo, Bill, that you took in my state of my home state of Arizona on a trip there. And I want you to talk about the photo, but I also I think that it also points to the fact that we are focused on Capitol Hill. This is our community. These are the people we cover, and we're covering history as it happens, but we're also getting out there too on reporting trips and seeing how this stuff is affecting the rest of the country, which will be ramping up again too with our political travel next year with the midterm elections. But talk about that photo of the Page, Arizona area.
So starting in the spring, Caroline and I started coming up with an idea to do a federal emergency water shortage story. It was expected to be announced in August. And so I was working with her to go out west and spend about 10 days running around shooting different images showing how the water shortage was affecting the communities and what was being done. And of course, she went off to sunny California for a new job. So I stepped in and had to go to Vegas and pick up the slack there.
A real hardship going to Vegas for you, right? Right, Bill?
You guys force me to go every year and I'll keep doing it. So this picture, I had gone up to Lake Powell to shoot the low water levels there and then was going to drive down Page, Arizona is very close to Lake Powell. I spent a little bit too much time at Lake Powell and got to Horseshoe Bend, which is where this photo was taken, and pulled up to the gate and guard says, yes, you've got a mile and a half walk and it's like 5 minutes before sunset. So I'm like running through the desert with the tripod and all my camera gear trying to get there in time. And luckily I did. And there was this wonderful rain shower off in the distance going off just as the sun set and illuminating the clouds. And shows the Colorado River coming around the bend and just kind of like summed up the whole project that we worked on.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful image. And it also, again, tells a story, which is that, there were 4 dams that were proposed for the Grand Canyon. They only did 2. They did Glen Canyon Dam, which is Lake Powell at the tip of Arizona, the tip of the Grand Canyon. And then there's Hoover Dam, which leads into Las Vegas in Nevada. And, it just wasn't an issue. There was just too much water for so long. And now there isn't. There is a drought. And this just happens to be the water supply for the Western United States, basically.
And I have to give some credit to our multimedia director, Jillian, who I originally had included a picture of the mermaid in the mermaid tank at one of the casinos in Vegas, but she convinced me to put the Horseshoe Bend picture in. I think she was right.
The Vegas version of the Wiki Waki. Well, Bill, Tom, and Caroline in absentia, thanks for walking through these images. They're a real credit, you know, to our journalism, and I really enjoy working with you all, and I really enjoy talking about this stuff with you. So thank you very much.
We'll do it again next year.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.